and then it grows. And so all we need to do in cases of, you know, of presences is to send as much light energy, as high love energy as we can, and that allows them to get unstuck and to move on. Yeah. And particularly at the time it's called All Saints, Le Toussaint, around Halloween, right, at the end of October, in that period of the year, the veils between dimensions are very thin. And it's much easier to be born, it's much easier to die, and we can also have a lot of impact on souls who are trapped in any way. So it's a time that we can be of service. Mm-hmm. So, the relationship of responsibility and faith. They don't necessarily seem logically connected. We don't put those two thoughts together very often, right? Responsibility and faith. But how would they be connected given everything that we've been saying? How do I put these two words in a sentence?
Simple.
Well, faith, there's faith in something, and then there's faith, you know? When we're talking about responsibility, we're talking about usually we're talking about blame and guilt and fault, right? Right? Usually?
Yeah.
Right? We put together responsibility with a lot of negative stuff. We learn that responsibility is a heavy load that we take on ourselves also in order that we can be seen as being good members of our societies. So responsibility is a very heavy and complicated thing in human society. When we accuse people of being irresponsible, it's one of the worst accusations, right? We hear so often, we hear people very often using those words as weapons against other people. Totally irresponsible. Angry and irresponsible. Right? Those are probably the maybe I'm not, maybe this is wrong, but it seems to me that these are the most commonly used reproaches, right? This person's angry and irresponsible. So, at the same time as we oblige good members of society to take on responsibility that's going to weigh them down and make them not able to be free, right? When we're assigning responsibility to people, it's often with that understanding that responsibility is culpability. This means if this messes up, we go to you, right? If we heal that term of responsibility, it starts to involve faith in that when we become fully responsible for our own lives, it means that we've understood that our beliefs will shape our realities. And our lives become a process of clarifying and understanding more and more deeply what we learned, what the belief systems are that are creating the realities that we're living. And so, this kind of responsibility has nothing to do with blame. It has to do with taking care of your own house. Your own house. And when we no longer have the program to determine what our reality is going to be, we don't know what it's going to be. Many people have expressed terror when they're looking at everything in their lives that they're beginning to realize has been the result of the programming of their parents. There's this terror of, who am I? If all of this is what I learned, who am I? Do I exist? And from that point, when we stop projecting onto reality with the sunglasses that we've learned to put on, when every minute can be anything because we've freed reality. That requires faith. In a sense, the structures that our families have created around us to help us survive protect us from the unknown, protect us from freedom. We're in a nice, controlled environment. Nice,
like
controlled environment. We know that if we do this, this is going to happen. Right? If we do
we
that,
hope.
This is going to happen. Yeah, exactly.
It's like George Orwell, like 1984.
It's like what we're living now. It's as much 2012 as it was 1984. Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't avoid thinking of the Orwellian reality that we're living when you see cameras everywhere. Everywhere. For our safety, to keep us safe. So, have you all done that exercise of the two pieces of paper and the lists, Mummy and Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Because when you do that, you know, it's very often the reflection of, okay, who am I? Right? And I suppose the faith is that who we are has always been there and always will be there. And has simply not been allowed to exist out in the open and in the light of day.
So, Tona, again, what does that have to do with responsibility?
I just went through that. And okay. So,
because you were talking about blame, guilt, and
blame, guilt,
and you were saying responsibility
and reality. I went to reality from that. Okay.
You said when we become fully responsible for our own lives,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we clean the house, our own house and stuff.
Yeah. When we become responsible for our own lives, then we no longer have the container of programming that tells us very clearly what we're going to live. Right? So that what happens then is that our responsibility is no longer something that suppresses life in us. It's no longer something that keeps us like the image that comes to my mind is of the oxen with the things on top of them, you know,
mm-hmm.
right? The yoke. Heavy responsibility that curves your shoulders in and
mm-hmm.
closes down your heart,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas when we're joyously responsible for our lives. That implies creating our own realities, right? And it involves an open heart, right? And the image that comes then is of the Sufi heart, right? Mm. You've got the heart and the wings, so our shoulders become like those wings. So, responsibility and faith. And that was related to the hips, responsibility. Remember? So that the hips and the shoulders come at a time of maturity, right? In terms of the chronology of the limbs, right? The adult phase, where we quote unquote take our responsibilities as adults, right? Adult and responsibility are words that go hand in hand, right? When we're adults, we then responsible adults, yeah. Right? Those words always go together. Responsible adults. And to me, sheeple is the next thing that comes to mind, right? Responsible for keeping our society functioning, right? Responsible for keeping us on course. Everything just the way it always has been. This is the horizontal axis that we were talking about. Right? These are our responsibilities, is to maintain everything the way it always has been. And so the prime responsibility related to these joints, right, in the hips is procreation, right? You make sure society continues by having babies, by making more of yourself, right? Boom, 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 boom.
Got the checklist.
And the shoulders, right? Are the responsibilities of society also the roles that we are supposed to take on, the duties that we are supposed to take on? And when we change our ideas, you see, in all of this talk of responsibility and duties, etc., etc., sexuality has always been a wild card, right? Sexuality has always been something that comes in and makes a mess. Knocks over the furniture, right? Leaves a sink full of dirty dishes. And the beds are all unmade. And the laundry's not done. Sexuality makes a mess, right? And so, when in our hips we are responsible, right? We walk a nice straight line, none of this business. Right? Exactly. So we become mothers, right? Because the responsibility in the hips is about procreation. So we become mothers with a capital M. And we walk this nice, straight, narrow path and make our kids walk this nice, straight, narrow path so that we can know that we're good mothers. Right? And our hips get you throw sexuality in there, and we become men and women, not mummies and daddies. Right? And men and women, you know, when we're talking about that, we're talking about this vertical axis a lot, which is people who will follow their own desires and make a mess. Mm-hmm. Right? Wanting things like freedom. We're not in responsibility mode in our shoulders. And I'm talking about responsibility in terms of responsibility to society, to our culture, right? To the horizontal axis, right, of survival. When our shoulders are freed, then we allow life to just circulate through us, and we don't have the same kind of laws on how we relate to other people. The arms are fed by the heart and govern our relationships with others and tell us who we can love and who we're not supposed to love, what we can receive and what we're not supposed to receive, what we can give and what we're not supposed to give. Mm-hmm. So freeing up the shoulders frees up, first of all, giving and receiving, and frees up our loving intentions. A dangerous, dangerous thing, right? And this is the state that we are living in now, where the vertical and horizontal impulses in ourselves are struggling. Mm-hmm. I want to be a good citizen, but I want to be. I want to do all the things I'm supposed to do, but I want to be free. I want to have a family, but I want to be free. I want to have a job, but I want to be free. I want to be a good child of God. And somehow we still believe that the two are mutually exclusive. That we have to choose either or. And this is our challenge now. Is to not make it a choice. I can be a good Christian, Jew, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, and be free. I can be a good citizen and not obey certain laws that are unjust laws. Food. In the wood element, I think, did we speak about, didn't speak about alcohol, did we?
Did we?
Just say
that it was pressing. That's right. Then Kate also brought something up too about that during our break.
Yeah.
We were just saying about alcohol and how it also creates anger in people too.
Mm-hmm. It creates, but it aggravates. Like after a while, like it might suppress,
that's
and then
right.
like
exactly.
at a certain point, then it.
When we're the point is that when we're craving alcohol. It indicates that there's anger and frustration and obstacles coming up that we don't want to deal with, right? Mm. Alcohol and fried foods.
Mm.
When we're craving sour food, it indicates that we're going through a process of letting go of feelings of anger and frustration,
like
lemon, that
what
kind
about
of sour.
Kale, like a MF, is kale or?
No, that's the next element. Yeah.
Arugula,
also
okay.
That's bitter.
Bitter,
not sour.
Not sour.
Mm-hmm.
Sorrel is sour tasting. Lemons are the best.
Mm-hmm.
And they're used, lemons are used as detoxes, yeah.
So that means we're in the process of living. Or it could help. So say for instance,
yeah, if you're feeling really pissed off and instead of suppressing it, you want to help clear it, you can drink some lemon and water, you know, or use lemon in your food. I haven't gone through the voices yet, have I?
Mm-mm, no.
So each, we know that every instrument, every musical instrument has a different sound according to its shape and according to the material that it's made out of, right? And our bodies are the same. Each one of our bodies makes a different sound, resonates in a certain way, depending on what we're made of, right? And our shape. And so, something that's extremely accurate is voice diagnosis. Listening to the way a body resonates, right? The way sound comes out of this instrument. So each part of this cycle has a different classical sound that's related to it. In the metal element, we have lots of air. Okay. You too know how the this goes.
When you talk, but it doesn't go down. Or?
This is the middle.
Yeah.
That's the middle element.
Okay.
Mm. Metal is more like a sighing or sobbing sound in the voice, right? So it's lots of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's such a nice day. Lots of that, right? Right. That's metal element. The next element is water. Actually, I have usually quite a water element voice, but to exaggerate it, so it's kind of very, very sexy therapist voice. So a DJ, you know. I smoke a lot of dope. Stay up late at night, and I drink lots of coffee.
You could do voiceovers.
Hey, trust me. You can trust me. And then when we get to wood element, because it's related to the liver and the gallbladder, it's this kind of voice, the kind of person who talks really loud and very forceful, and they always sound angry, even if they're saying it's lunchtime.
It's kind of aggressive.
Kind of. Yeah.
Kind of.
So each, and our voices change.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, our voices change depending on how we're feeling, who's in front of us, what we've eaten.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really interesting is to observe the changes in our voices so that
mm-hmm.
we can get a better handle on what's coming up without our being aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it also obviously helps to tell us about the people who are in our lives.
Yeah.
I'll go through the others now so that you just have all of the comparisons, even though we haven't done the other elements. After wood...
I'm waiting for the fire.
Yeah. No, it's not fire that I can do very well, actually. Fire is the next one. And
wood and then fire.
And fire is fire is a monotonous voice. it's very controlling and controlled. It's the kind of voice that talks like this and there's no inflection and they put you to sleep all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the chemistry teacher who talks, you know. Right? The way people talk when they're reading from their books, and you know, like if the priests that read from the Bible like this, and I can't do it very well, but it's the kind of monotonous voice that where you eventually start feeling really controlled.
I have a yoga instructor who, when she talks outside of the yoga classroom, she's not that voice, but in the yoga classroom it is.
Control.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Absolute control.
Yeah.
And then there's another, it's a voice that's hard to imitate, but when you hear it, you know it, because there's like a little, there's really more people than you would think that have this sound when they're talking.
This is fire?
They'll just be talking all of a sudden like this. Or, yeah.
My gosh, I'm going to be analyzing everybody.
And it's what it indicates is problem with the heart valve.
Mm.
It's funny, yeah? Like that. And it just comes anywhere. Yeah, it's hard. And then, and this is the one.
Oh, yes.
The next one is the earth element, right? And this is the one you were talking about, which is really in the head. And typically, you hear this from school teachers, right? Elementary school teachers.
Mm. I'm not looking forward to this one.
Now, class, we're going to all make a circle, and we're going to all join hands and sing together. All together now. And it's like this because I am so fucking scared of you little bastards. I am so terrified of you that I'm way up here in my head.
Oh my god. That's hilarious.
And we know, all of us know people who talk like that, right? And people tend to approach children in that way. Oh, children and animals, right? Like, and it indicates fear.
Yeah.
So when we're really scared, we move into our heads. And we get this kind of really out of body kind of voice.
Definitely have done that voice, but not for every class.
And gradually, as over the years, I've heard your voice really change.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
You really come into your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that voice.
It simply indicates terror. So many sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear them sing, I can't stand it. You know? Because a high soprano voice is so often related to someone who's really, really frightened.
You mean speaking and
singing
as well?
Singing as well.
So I just could explain why certain people's voices kind of make you
totally on edge.
Great, yeah.
Because right.
I know there's definitely people that the moment they speak, I just kind of want to run away.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't, there's like other in the past, I was like, why does that person always make me?
Mm-hmm.
It's so uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
But it has to do with
them. Yeah. Is it possible for people to have combination?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Most all of us have combination voices.
Yeah. Okay.
But all of us will also be working on particular themes,
mm-hmm.
right? And therefore usually have one predominant sound. You know, in the same way as the circle doesn't have nice, clear,
right?
The circle has an infinite number of points around it. And that's true with all of the things that we're discussing, is that it's a continuum. It's just that it enables us to understand the movement of energy if we stop at certain places, you know, and see what's going on in that particular place. Yeah.
What did you say about what again? I know forceful, loud, kind of angry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it means, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, but wait.
Right now we're talking about wood element, right?
Yes.
So the eastern gate, manifesting ourselves in the world,
mm-hmm.
the liver, the gallbladder, the joints, the eyes.
But when someone has that kind of voice, it's about their own manifestation, about fearful, about...
It means that they, the themes that they're dealing with, and
right.
the way that they've learned to deal with the world,
mm-hmm.
is by being in the wood element energy.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, if we learn upon incarnation, if we learn that we are alone in a prison, and then in the next state, we learn that the world is a scary place. All those people out there are really scary, and we have to keep safe by sticking together with people who are like us. Then the next stage is we get really angry about everything outside of us that's holding us down. And it really follows a logical progression, right? I'm alone, I'm fearful, I'm angry. If we incarnate and learn that we're here on an amazing adventure of discovery and connection, right? That our bodies allow us connection with all of this world, this beautiful world. And then we learn that the ancestors who've come before us and formed our bodies, gave us a legacy that we are here to work on. It's like an unfinished work of art, a piece of sculpture that we're putting our own touches on. And then we go out into the world with curiosity and faith. Oh, I wonder what this is going to be. So this is where we're at now.
You mentioned one time hips relating to faith and taking your path. Can you talk a little bit about that?
It's again, not having fear. Not being governed by fear. In the same way as the arms are fed by the heart, the legs are fed by the belly. Right? And our bellies are really where we've hidden all of our shame.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we don't like about ourselves, we've hidden here in our bellies. It's like sticking everything in the basement. In the cellar, right? And closing the door. And so most of us live from here up. Right? We stop right here at the solar plexus, which is related to the wood element, right? It's the liver and gallbladder. This is later on, this side. This whole area from the kidneys in the back around from this side to the liver, gallbladder, on this side to the spleen, pancreas, and stomach. most of us don't pull our energy into our bellies. And yet, our bellies are the source of our vital energy and our creative energy. Not just the source of our sexual energy and our desire to procreate. You know, it's also the source of all of our creative instincts. It's the base of our kundalini that then, as we take responsibility for our lives, this energy grows and rises, and we become like straight, strong trees. And all this energy comes up and manifests out into the other, all the dimensions of existence. This creative energy, this energy of the union of matter and spirit, that's what we have here in our balance. And we avoid it because we've also put into this area all of our shame, all of the feeling of not being good enough, and of being sinful, dirty. So, until we can open up this barrier that we've put here and allow our energy to come down into our bellies, we don't live there. And we govern our paths with our heads, right? So we decide from our heads where we're going to go. And this is out of fear. Right? This is a fearful state. Maybe I'll go there, maybe I'll go there. Right? That's right. And so the hips then get jammed, rigid. This is part of the rigid hips thing, you know. I have to go on this path and be a good member of society. And if I connect with this energy, I'm going to be a wanton slut. I'm going to become a whore, right? Madonna or Magdalene, right? And yet the Magdalene is a feminine Christ. And so in our bellies, we have the union of spirit and matter. We've just learned that we can't go there. When we really repossess the energy in our bellies, and it's our energy that's flowing through our legs and our feet, then we are taking responsibility for our own paths. And it's not a mind thing. It's not a heavy thing. It's just a joyous, whoa, next, you know? You're not thinking about it. You're just moving the way that feels correct. Because it just is. And sometimes, because we're in a transition state now, sometimes when we've come into our bodies and we're beginning to take the path that our intuition tells us to take, the mind says, what are you doing that for? Wait a minute, you can't do that. Okay, well maybe, okay, maybe it's because, right? This is the thought process as we begin to follow what we can call guidance, right? That actually is not coming necessarily from up there someplace. It's coming from here. It's coming from that inter weaving of spirit and matter that is our being. And so, as we're practicing following guidance, following what arises, the mind goes into panic mode often. You know? I know that when I'm trying to follow guidance, my mind is saying, okay, well, maybe I'm doing this because... or it would be... Oh, this makes sense. It's because, right? And then 3 steps further down the path, oh, that's why, right? Now this involves faith, right? It's not taking your path because of what your head is saying. It's taking your path because you know that this is the right way, and your head is going, what the fuck? Right? But you're not allowing your head to... The head is in the passenger seat. Going like this. Break.
That's a very funny image, I would say.
You're going too fast. No, don't turn there. Oh, I can't watch.
When we did the workshop with Kenny, he was talking about it as the ego, right? Like, would that be related to the same thing? As the ego that's kind of always trying to come in and start that, the thinking and the talking.
Yeah, I the
questioning.
I try not to use the word ego because it's so tainted, you know, with negative concepts.
Freud?
Yeah. Freud and every psychotherapist since, you know. And it's a not honoring of everything that we're programmed with. It's important that we honor program, that we honor the personality that's created by the program. In my feeling, that's why we're here. Our personalities are a manifestation of our programming coming up through our bodies. And our lives are created by the friction or the dance between who we really are and who we learned we are. Right? And all, when I talk about friction between the two, that's really what our lives are created of. The obstacles in our paths are manifestations of visible manifestations of what has been invisibly programmed. Right? And the invisible programming is what we call the ego. It's the need to survive and how we've learned to survive from through our lineages. Right? It's important not to diss that. You know? But to really honor it.
So then, I suppose the ego, that's what you were saying, right?
The invisible programming is how we learn to survive. And the definition of the ego is what allows us to survive in the world. And And the idea of survival, I'm repeating myself, right? But the idea of survival is based in fear. It's based in the idea that, oops, what happens if I die? And when we can get to a place of
peace.
Yeah, okay, so I die, you know? My body turns back to the earth. The rest of me continues also. The earth recreates another body. Idea of survival is based in fear. And there's a lot of people who would say that the belief in the soul or belief in or being eternal is really wishful thinking. That it's it hasn't been proven. It's not scientifically measurable. You know, all of those things. And that faith and reason have been seen as opposites. Right? Faith and reason. Either you blindly believe, and a lot of people will lump religion and faith and naivety all together. Right? Or you're logical and reasonable and practical and scientific, and you believe in the material world as it is. Reality. Wait. Reality. Oops. Have a choice of what reality we're going to manifest. You know, what do you want to choose? Okay. The next time we meet, we're going to be working with a fire element. In Oriental medicine, metal is seen as feeding water, in the way that minerals are dissolved in water. And then water is seen as feeding wood in the way that water feeds trees so that they can grow. And then wood feeds fire. So I would like you to reflect on that connection of wood and fire and about passion in your lives. I'd like you to reflect on passion and how it has been, how it has played out in your life, how you've related to passion. And what your understanding of it is now. So the one thing that I really want you to take from this discussion of the wood element is that all of the obstacles in our lives are there to show us the bars of the prison that we learned that we're in, so that we can transform the prison.
When the head comes in, when you take the step, we just look at the thoughts.
Observe. Understanding that when the head is going chicka 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 chicka, as we're moving along and trying to follow our guidance as best as possible, when the head comes in, what's important is to understand is the head. What's the words that are being spoken are not our words. This is the result of fear. This is the result of the programming. We tend to think that our thoughts indicate who we are, but that's not true. Most of our thoughts have been carefully put there. Most of our thoughts are the result of beliefs that have been carefully programmed inside us. Our thoughts can show us what are another way of showing us what we were programmed with. And what's useful is to listen to the words that are being spoken in your head and to see who they came from. Mm. Where did I learn that? Question them. You know? This is not who you are. It's what you learned.
Yeah,
and we get to laugh at it, mm-hmm. You know?
It just takes time, because you cannot do that if you're in the middle of an activity or with people. It really, it's just, it's reflection.
Well, it requires attention, mm-hmm. But you can also...
Just have it as an intention, don't you?
Pardon me?
Just have the intention of also being reflective or self-aware.
Well, as it comes up, just make a note of it so in your mind. Oh, that was interesting. And then later, when you have time, sit. Right? But, you know, as you're going through your life and doing stuff, and something comes up, it should begin to ring a bell for you. Ding! Oh. And then, yeah, when you're alone and you have time, you revisit that situation to see what it was. Yeah? So that a discipline that you can follow is at the end of every day to go through all of the dings. Huh? What did I notice today? And this comes back to responsibility in a sense. You know? It's not feeling bad or guilty or ashamed of anything that you're thinking or feeling, but really watching it and taking responsibility for who you really are. Which is not what you're thinking or feeling, you know? All right?
Thank you.